Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Physical therapy is a physical medicine and rehabilitation specialty. It's used to remediate impairments and promote mobility, function, and quality of life through examination, diagnosis, prognosis, and physical intervention. It's a broad topic. There are many different kinds of physical therapy, as there are many varied specialties among physical therapists. They work in hospitals, private practices, schools, athletic organizations, and more. Nahar Jalil is a physical therapist whose practice focuses on the Pilates and gyrotonic methods of exercise. She founded the Pilates Principle, located in Loudonville, 16 years ago. Her studio serves teenage athletes, addresses geriatric fitness, and everything in between. Her main approach via Pilates and gyrotonic is injury prevention and optimizing strength and flexibility. To join today's discussion is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org, or Facebook at facebook.com/WAMC Radio, or you can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. But the number to call is a good one, 800-348-2551. Nahar Jalil, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what brought you into this line of work? What was your passion that started this?
Well, it was my back pain that
really
actually got me into Pilates, yes.
So you're fairly young to have back pain.
Yeah.
16 years ago, you were very young.
I was really young. Yeah, I was in my early 20s, and I was practicing physical therapy. I was primarily a pediatric PT. Mm-hmm. So it was very rewarding work, but it was also pretty backbreaking because you're on the floor with, you know, young kids all day helping support them, and it took a toll on my body. So I ended up with a lot of mid-back and hip pain.
Mm.
So I started doing Pilates. I said, what's this Pilates thing I keep hearing about?
Pilates, as we call it in radio.
Yeah. So I said, let me check this out. So I came across the studio. It was in Southern California, is where I was living at the time. And I did probably about 3 months worth of sessions with a woman.
All right, what is Pilates?
Well, Pilates is an amazing exercise method that I also like to call it a movement system.
Okay.
There's no isolated movements in Pilates, so you're never just doing a bicep curl. We don't really move that way in real life. We're not just isolating one joint at a time. We're moving multiple joints at a time. So every exercise essentially gets us to understand from where to initiate movements that perhaps have become difficult for us. So whether it's getting up and down a flight of stairs or whether it's the dancer trying to hold her legs straight to the ceiling. Every exercise essentially lays new track from your brain to your body. So you start moving more efficiently and with much more power if you're cross-training for a sport.
So you had this back pain and you found this and it helped.
It helped.
How long did it take?
I came home after 3 months of doing sessions. I came home and my mother said, what are you doing? She's like, your posture's different. You're walking differently. And I said, you know, my back isn't hurting anymore. I started Pilates. And my instructor out there said to me, you should really get certified. And she had a physical therapist who was an instructor at her studio. And the PT really said, she took me aside and she said, you've got to get certified in this. At the time, Pilates was still trademarked. So you could only get certified in LA or New York City. So we moved home in 2002. I got certified in 2003, and I started my studio that same year.
Wow, and 16 years, it's a good run.
Yeah.
The number to call here is 800-348-2551. Nahar Jalil is our guest. And so you see a wide range of ages at your shop, right?
We do.
And so obviously the complaints are probably a little different than in, for instance, if you happen to be a competitive skater who comes in,
right,
or if you're a 70-year-old who has just creaky, like we all are as we get up there in age.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how do you tailor what you do? Obviously, the energy level of a 70-year-old is not going to be the same as someone who is 30 years old.
The energy level is not going to be the same, but the way we approach it is pretty much the same. I mean, you know, I had a young girl come in who is probably about 14, and she's a dancer, and she said, well, you know, when I hold my leg straight up here to the, you know, and she has her leg like next to her ear, you know, it's straight up to the ceiling, it was really hard for her to hold her leg there.
Oh, really? Well,
yes.
I mean, the number one answer would be don't do that.
She's got to get there for her dance, right?
Oh, okay.
So she's got the range of motion to get there, but she didn't really have the mobility, which, you know, having mobility means you have total control over your full range of motion.
Yeah.
So she could get her leg there, but she really wasn't in command of it. She wasn't really in control of it. So the stuff I worked on with her was pretty much the same type of things I'd work on, you know, with somebody who's got a bad knee or a bad back. It was, you break it down, you make the movements applicable for that person, and then all of a sudden, by the end of the hour, she was like, oh my God, it's so much easier to hold my leg up here. And she looked completely different doing it. So, I think the key point is it's your awareness, right? Your brain's connected to your body, but if you don't have the awareness to connect the two, that's what Pilates and Gyrotonic do for people. They get your brain to recognize, okay, if I'm trying to hold my leg straight to the ceiling, I also have to be feeling like there's a puppet string pulling my head up to the ceiling at the same time, or else you're slouching as you bring that leg up. That's not going to work. You have to be lifting. Your core has to hold you upright, no matter whether you're trying to get up off the floor or whether you're trying to take that leg straight up.
So Gyrotonic is what?
So Gyrotonic is a movement system that is primarily done on a weight and pulley system.
Ah.
So Pilates is spring-based. Gyrotonic is weight and pulley. So what that essentially means is Pilates springs just open and close, open and close. So the movements are more linear,
mm-hmm.
okay, straight lines. Gyrotonic is multiplanar. It is a lot of rotation. The pulleys allow you to move through larger ranges of motion than the Pilates springs do. So Pilates will feel more like toning, and you really have to work against the springs because they're pretty heavy. The Gyrotonic feels more like swimming, where it is more, it's more circular motions. It's a lot more spinal rotation. It's more joint decompression. So you're moving through much larger ranges of motion with gyro. So initially that does feel like more of a stretch for people.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah.
Our guest today is Nahar Jalil, and the number to call is 800-348-2551. Let's go to Christy in North Adams. Christy.
I am a devout fan of physical therapy, and it sounds like I'm going to become a fan of Pilates as well.
Uh-huh.
I tore a tendon or did something to it after I'd had my knee for about 6 months, and I thought, let's not be foolish about this. You got to do something magical, and they said, you're going to PT. And after 3 weeks at PT, I could walk. Mm. And I could get the muscles to do what I wanted them to do.
Yeah.
So I would crawl to a physical therapy appointment if I had to. And that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you,
Christy.
Oh,
thank you.
Appreciate the call. Now, at some point, though, if Christy is now fully walking and feeling good, she can stop, right? It sounds like she's kind of addicted to physical therapy.
Yeah, I mean, that's a natural progression. Like, you'll go into physical therapy, you know, you'll go to an orthopedic clinic, they'll work on your knee for you, they'll get you, you know, functioning back to your functional level again, and then you get discharged. What tends to happen is if people don't stick with their exercise regimen after they get discharged, because they always give you, you know, a home exercise program to do, and, you know, human nature kicks in and it's hard to stick with that home exercise program.
Sure.
So that's where I would love people to come see me after they've been discharged from physical therapy.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a program people can stick with. And we'll start branching out. You know, we can work on more things other than just her knee.
Yeah.
So if she was, you know, in physical therapy, they really just addressed her knee. That's great. She's back to walking, and it's obviously worked really great for her. But yeah, there's other things we could work on after that. So
our guest today is Nahar Jalil. Let's go to line two. And Johanna in New Paltz, you're on.
Yes, just one moment. You have a very big problem. Let me turn off the radio.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you what.
The telephone fades out constantly. I've been on it. I've been listening to the calls from there.
Oh, boy.
Coming in, and it fades out, and I don't know whether I can be heard or what.
We can hear you, Johanna. We can hear you.
Yeah, now you can.
Yeah.
But you have a very serious problem going on.
Okay. Well, I'll tell Zach, the engineer. In fact, we'll wake him up. Zach, okay? Time
Thank
for the
you.
Happy nappy to be over. All right, he's on the case. Anyway, do you have a question?
Yes.
Okay.
I want to hear something about the interaction between doctors who prescribe therapy and the therapists who don't know what to do. My experience in New Paltz and Kingston has been very poor, and the reason for it is that the doctor does not give instructions to the therapist. One reason for that was that there seems to be no follow-up in any kind of sequential manner of having first x-rays and so on for injuries that might be there. They may not be visible because of swelling and so forth. Nothing else is scheduled, and I was told, no, we don't do any follow-ups.
Ah.
If you find a doctor who does, then you are lucky. But this is something that is uncoordinated in my experience.
Okay.
If anybody has been to a German rehabilitation place, they know how that is done.
Yeah.
And the follow-up is essential. And the result here was, and it's different therapists, and they may be very good people in themselves, they don't know what to do. They aren't
okay.
told what to do.
Right.
So they give you a piece of paper which says 20 times at the top. Now, if you're as old as I, almost 88, then that is a problem. You're not 30.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yeah.
So the age, the injuries, etc., they were not stated. They were not possible.
Okay. Yeah.
And I ended up with three fractures, fissures.
You know, I'm sorry. You know, I would think that. And it's a terrible story, Johanna, and I sympathize with you. I would think that it's probably not the same with all doctors and all physical therapists.
I hope not, but it is. Breathing, for instance, was not included, and these were different people, different institutions.
Okay. All right.
Breathing is not included in the therapist's work.
Yeah.
So wrong exercises were done,
okay.
And moreover, there's no coordination between doctors and therapists.
Right, between your doctor and the therapist, and we get it. And thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Well, that's a good point. So how does a doctor follow up? And in other words, how do you get, you'll get a referral from a doctor for this sort of thing?
We do have some physicians who have told their patients to come see us.
Yeah.
I mean, we do. We have had referrals from physicians.
Right.
We've had other physical therapists. You know, a colleague of mine, PT, called me up and said, hey, I've done everything I can with this lady. I'm sending her to you. See what else you got for her.
Yeah. And following up is really the doctor's thing to do, right? It wouldn't necessarily, you would do what you have to do, and then the doctor would follow up.
I mean, I've definitely taken the time to write up a note for, I have a young girl who's had several knee surgeries. She's maybe 28. And she came in and we took a look at her knee and I started really actually addressing her hip weakness. So her hip was really weak. So she really made a huge turnaround. She came in tears. And after like three lessons, she was feeling really good about her knee. So I took the time to write up a note and I sent it back to her surgeon.
Yeah.
Because he's operated on her knee like five times, you know, and he basically told her, I don't know what else to tell you except to wait for the replacement.
Yeah.
So I wanted to at least communicate to him, hey, we've made some progress. Thank you for allowing me to communicate this to you. So I, you know, sent him a note. He didn't send her to me. She ended up just figuring, hey, let me try Pilates and see if this works. But I took the time to communicate back to him, and I never heard back from him, but I think that is important. You do want to let anybody who's a referral source know, hey, I'm taking care of this person for you. You know, this is the progress we're making.
Nuhar Jalil is our guest, and we talk physical therapy today on Vox Pop. The number to call is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. We'll take a short break, and then we'll get back to the phones in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Real Seafood Company, Wolf Road, Colony. Locally owned seafood restaurant and raw bar, realseafoodco.com. Apex Solar Power, Queensbury, New York. Locally owned, installing solar panels, solar hot water, solar pool heating. ApexSolarPower.com for information. Unusual Wedding Rings and More in Crawford Square, North Street, downtown Pittsfield. Specializing in wedding and engagement rings with a variety of jewelry for special occasions or everyday wear. UnusualWeddingRings.com. the Department of Theater Arts SUNY New Paltz, presenting the Arthur Miller drama A View from the Bridge, March 3rd through 13th, newpaltz.edu/theater. And the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, announcing their updated website with more information about membership, grants, and loans, so our past has a future. PreserveNYS.org.
The number. Ray Graff here. It's Vox Pop. We talk physical therapy today with Nahar Jalil. And, you know, before the show, I was complaining, as I often do, about my physical ailments. I'm 51, and everything hurts most of the time. And I was complaining about my rotator cuff, which is getting better. But at Memorial Day, I ripped it throwing balls from center field.
Yep.
And you said, well, you have to remember, everything is connected. The
right.
old leg bone connected to
Absolutely.
The...
Absolutely.
So, I mean... It isn't just, yes, it hurts in the rotator cuff, but it's other things.
Yep. Where you think it is, it ain't.
Well,
okay?
How do you go about placing that?
Well, here's the deal, right? So you got your shoulder, and
right.
that's a ball and socket joint, right?
Right. Yep. Well, that's like the car show.
So
yeah,
the socket
that.
is your scapula or your shoulder blade,
mm-hmm.
okay? So if your shoulder blade muscles aren't stabilizing, which is what their job is to do. They're stabilizing your arm bone.
Yeah.
Okay. So if your scapular muscles are not functioning properly, your mobilizing muscles, which are, you know, the muscles in your arm that are throwing the ball, right?
Right.
Those muscles have to do double duty. They have to stabilize because your shoulder blade's not stabilizing, and they have to move your arm.
Right.
So that's when you get into trouble.
Very interesting. You know,
so you have to work, you have to strengthen your shoulder blade. Your brain has to start to say, okay, get my scapula here before I throw with my arm. Okay? And so that's what you would work on with me, is trying to figure out, how do I turn on my shoulder blade the proper way so I can optimize my pitch?
See, now you make a very good point. And now I think back to so many times when you see major leaguers who they had, let's say, a knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
And they go back to the mound. Their knee is somewhat, you know, it's not their arm. They go back, and they end up hurting themselves in a different way because they're favoring the knee.
Yeah, yeah.
Very smart. Our guest is Nahar Jalil, and let's go back to the phones. Mike in Cornwall. Mike, you're on.
Yes. I'm 74 years old. Was diagnosed at 30 with spondylolisthesis.
Uh-huh.
And had been treated, quote unquote, treated for spondylolisthesis. Various options were given, such as spinal fusion and other things. And what was never given was the option. It was always an operation or looking at physical therapy or any kind of therapy. It became what happens. It is now spinal. It was spinal stenosis, which became a situation where they had to go do a laminectomy. Lumbar decompression,
okay,
on the lumbar spine, and then after that, the aftermath of that was, here are your options. You have a number of places you can go to. I'm not going to talk about the names of
good.
The places.
That's
but
very good.
I'm wondering, you know, now I have been going to physical therapy places where I live for a number of years.
Okay.
All kinds of stretching, you name the exercise in these places, I've been going to them. And I'm wondering what options now... I go to the last doctor I went to when I was a neurologist and said, on the script, 6 weeks of strengthening balance. Balance is very difficult for me.
Okay. Yeah.
As you can imagine. And I'm wondering, I'm going to conquer this thing, even though it was probably at 30 or when this spondylolisthesis thesis was having an effect on that nerve, correct? It was probably going downhill at that time. So I have again started physical therapy.
All right.
And they want to do, which I've had, braces. But what is your opinion? How far my friends in Albany and the area, I don't want to go to a nursing home where I have my head and I don't have my legs.
Okay, now we missed perhaps the key part of that question. How far? And then we had a pause. What was the exact question, Mike?
Should I keep going? Chew physical therapy. I mean, it always helps.
Okay.
But, you know, you always can't pay for that.
Thank you for the call, Mike. I've got a couple ideas for you here. So first of all, you're kind of like Humpty Dumpty at this point, right? We got to put you all back together, okay? Because you've had some spinal issues, you know, for over 30 years. And one key thing to keep in mind, and you said that they did a lumbar decompression on your spine, right? You know what the primary function of your core is to hold you upright and to hold your spine decompressed. Okay,
right.
So that's one part. You want to keep going to physical therapy, and you want to keep working on your core, primarily working on postural exercises. Can you hold yourself up really tall while you're pulling on that TheraBand they have your arms hooked up to and stuff like that, okay? So that's one piece. The other piece, and when you mentioned your balance, so right below your low back is your pelvis, right? And your pelvic muscles, some of your deep gluteal muscles, some of your deep butt muscles, okay, are really responsible. They're kind of like the platform that your spine is built on. And if that platform's kind of crumbling and shaky, your spine's never going to be happy, okay? So you got a couple things going on here. You got to really work on strengthening your hips. And your balance isn't going to get better until your hip strength is really good, okay? In my industry, we call this dumb butt, where everybody forgets how to use their butt muscles, okay? So your glutes and your hip muscles.
Go ahead, say it again.
What is it called?
I was making a joke and saying that in my industry we call it dumb butt, people forget how to use their butt muscles, and it's a very powerful muscle group, okay? So strengthening your glutes and strengthening your hip muscles, working on your posture to decompress your spine. Those are the two key points, and I bet you your balance gets better. Your back doesn't keep hurting you if you work on both your pelvic stabilizers and your spinal core muscles holding you upright.
Yeah, well, Mike, thanks a lot for the call. You know, I do want to point out that when you are looking at options like this at home and you're listening, Nahar Jalil will give you generalized advice that she would give a client. It's really impossible to do over the phone, so take these with a grain of salt. Always make sure you consult your physician, depending on your condition. And these are generalized tips for you at home. And let's go to Jeffrey in Holyoke. Jeffrey, you're on.
Hi, thank you. Hi. So I am wondering about recovery from a shin splint. I'm 36 years old. I like to run. And I developed this back in December, and it was probably a couple of weeks of me running on it before I recognized what it was. I thought it was just kind of sore. And so I stopped running, and I got myself some better shoes since then. I went to a place that actually specializes in good running shoes. And it got better over the last couple of months, and I started running again probably about a week ago. And it's still a little sore, but I've talked to other runners who said they've started running again, you know, while it's still a little sore. It's on the inside of my right leg.
Mm-hmm.
And So I wonder if you have some advice on, you know, should I still be running again if it's still a little sore? Is that okay? You know, obviously I'm not going to be as strenuous with it as I was before. I realized the reason it developed was that there was too much variability in the distance I was running. You know, okay. I'd go 3 miles for most of the time, but then I'd throw in a 6 or 7 mile occasionally, and I guess that's how it happened.
Okay, so before we start with the answer, what exactly are shin splints? We hear about it all the time, but some of us who are not runners have no idea what they actually are.
Yeah, shin splints, it's going to be an inflammation in the anterior, the front portion of your shin.
Okay.
So sometimes people get them like to the right of their shin bone. Sometimes people get them to the, you know, inside or outside of their shin bone, different areas.
Okay.
But it usually does result because it comes as a result of, you know, the way your heel strikes the ground.
Yeah.
Everyone's foot structure is different. So when people run and it's a repetitive motion of your heel slamming into the ground repeatedly, that can start to fire up that anterior part of your shin, because those are the muscles that control the descent of your foot on the way down every
uh-huh.
time.
Okay.
So so it is just an inflammation of the tissue in there.
And that'll just go away after a while?
I'm not a runner, so I don't have a ton of experience with whether they just resolve on their own.
Okay.
My inclination is to say that they probably aren't going to resolve on their own, because the more he keeps running on it, the more aggravated it will become. You know, one thing I can recommend Jeffrey look into is there is something called MELT method. Which is it stands for myofascial energetic lengthening technique. So it is basically going to address the connective tissue. So you've got muscle and you've got fascia,
mm-hmm.
okay? And your fascia is your connective tissue. And usually people with shin splints will respond pretty well to MELT method, because A, they have to address their feet first. Remember, where you think it is, it ain't, right? So we've got it. You want to look at the foot structure. Maybe, who knows, maybe he needs a set of custom orthotics. So again, could be something that, you know, his physician could evaluate for him. But yeah, custom orthotics, working on MELT method, which actually works on your fascia on the bottom of your foot and works up the shin and calf.
Wow.
So you're kind of trying to release that, so that way the muscles can take over the stabilizing and the connective tissue doesn't have to kind of kick in and go into freak out mode.
Jeffrey, thanks a lot for the call. I mean, running can be very tough
mm-hmm.
on various parts of your body.
Yep.
I mean, elliptical would be less stress on many parts, right?
Well, they're both repetitive motions. I mean, so we see clients with repetitive strains from both of those.
Mm.
We do have people who've said, oh, the elliptical's killing my back, elliptical's killing yeah. my knee. So you do, it's a repetitive strain, yeah.
All right, let's go over to line 4 and Andrew in Hartford. Andrew, you're on.
How's it going?
Good.
I just had a question. I'm getting ready for a PT test. It requires us to do a sit and reach. Sit and reach. You just sit at this little bench and you lunge forward to see how your flexibility.
Okay.
I'm 33. I'm 6 feet tall, 160 pounds. I've injured my back before in the military. Somebody suggested that I try yoga. I've just been listening for the past 30 minutes or so, maybe 20. This Pilates thing, and I just had a question. Would that be something else to add onto the list of things to do?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the call, Andrew. You know, the key to gaining more flexibility for this type of fitness test is doing dynamic stretching. Pilates is essentially every exercise is a dynamic stretch where you are moving and at the same time you're getting a stretch to your muscles.
Okay.
So that would be a great tool to maybe try to throw into the mix. And there are... you'd probably find online a lot of different, like, standing, seated, just dynamic stretches you can do to increase your hamstring flexibility. But yes, I mean, everyone who does Pilates increases their hamstring flexibility. So that could definitely benefit you if you're looking to increase your performance on that one test.
Now, what about if, because I'm weight training also, so I'm doing both of them at the same time. Could that interfere somewhere along the line, or is there, I just have to find an even balance between the both?
Yeah, I think you could definitely find that balance. You know, Pilates isn't going to, or yoga or any of these other exercise methods, they're not going to set you back as far as your weight training goes.
Okay.
Hey, Andrew, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening. And always nice to hear from Hartford, beautiful Hartford, Connecticut. Amanda in East Greenbush. Amanda.
Yes, I had a quick question. My son has autism, and we're always looking for alternative treatments. So core strength is an issue. Do you think Pilates would be helpful for him?
Thanks for the call, Amanda. How old's your son?
He is 9, almost 10.
Okay, yeah. I mean, we do have some pediatric clients at our studio that are around that age, maybe a little bit older. You could certainly give it a try. My son's 5 and a half, and he's come to my Pilates classes before, and, you know, he's gotten through it pretty well. So you could, I don't think it could hurt. I think if you expose it to him in a fun setting that engaged him in a way that would keep a kiddo his age engaged, I think it couldn't hurt, you know, to give it a shot. I mean, is he struggling, like, with balance? Like, when you say core strength, what are you seeing is an issue for him?
Well, he used to get physical therapy through the school district, but he passed out of it, so it's not necessary anymore.
Okay. Yeah.
But I would like for him, because sometimes he, like, his posture's off, or if he's sitting, he's more slumped.
Yeah.
And I feel as though that if we get that under control, then maybe it will also help with his mind, because you said something about laying tracks.
Yes.
So maybe it will give him more control if, am I making sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think whenever somebody gets discharged from physical therapy, and that is a great place to start with something like what your son's dealing with. He gets discharged. They really have said, well, we've done as much as we can for him at this point. He should still keep moving. You know, he should be still doing a movement system that works for him to keep his core engaged, if you're already seeing at 9 years old that his posture is an issue. So absolutely. I mean, you know, we do have pediatric clients at our studio. I think it might be something worth just at least looking into for him.
Okay, and can I have your number so that I can, the office number, not your personal number, so that I can call and set it up?
Well, I tell you what, why don't you guys have a website, right? So why don't we point everyone to the website?
Sure. It's LathamPilates.com or just PilatesPrinciple.com.
Amanda, thank you so much for the call. Let's go over to Shannon in Orange County. Shannon, you're on.
Yes, hi. I have a question. My daughter has scoliosis, and I'm trying to find alternative approaches that are affordable in terms of treating her scoliosis. Have you ever worked with scoliosis patients? If so, what do you recommend? And is it ever covered by insurance?
Thanks for the call, Shannon. Yes, we see a lot of scoliosis. How old's your daughter?
She's 16.
16? Yep. We've definitely seen teenage girls with scoliosis. The name of the game with scoliosis is trying to decompress the spine, right? You know what happens with a scoliosis is the vertebrae turns one way and then side bends another, and then the one above it turns and side bends. That's how you end up with that curve. Okay, so if you can kind of, when you picture a curved spine, if you can just kind of visualize stretching both ends of it up and down, that's what'll start to kind of ease up her curve, is, again, her finding those core muscles. I said earlier, you know, the primary function of your core is to hold you upright. It's not, you know, to do 200 crunches, right? So if she can work on getting an awareness of those postural muscles so she can kind of self-decompress that spine of hers and get more of an awareness of that we've had great results with it. Actually, one of the instructors at my studio is a physical therapist, and her entire specialty is scoliosis.
Huh.
So you could definitely give it a shot.
Well, thank you, Shannon. We appreciate the call very much. The number to call here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We talk physical therapy today with Nahar Jalil of Pilates Principle in Loudonville, New York. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Saratoga Chamber Players, bringing musicians together from Europe, Asia, Canada, and the U.S. since 1987 with a concert March 6th at 3 p.m. at the United Methodist Church, saratogachamberplayers.org. Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, custom-designed panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly, passive, and solar design elements, noble-home.net. Boyden and Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, offering lawn and garden equipment, parts, and service to customers throughout western Massachusetts, a family-owned business for over 50 years, boydenandperrin.com. Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, specializing in wine and craft spirits for more than 15 years, stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins, grapesandgrainswine.com. And the Whistling Kettle, Troy and Boston Spa, lunch menu, including fresh quiche, scones, salad, paninis, and crepes, featuring a grilled cheese with tossed arugula and truffle oil, thewhistlingkettle.com.
Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. If you get a busy signal, wait until you hear somebody hang up and then give it a try. I'm Ray Graff. Our guest today is Nahar Jalil, a physical therapist whose practice focuses on the Pilates and gyrotonic methods of exercise. Interesting questions here today, huh?
Yeah.
And so somebody mentioned insurance. Is that something that, I'll tell you, the insurance... It's a quagmire. So what is covered and what is not covered is always an interesting question. But
yeah.
in your experience, is this sort of thing covered?
Well, as far as my studio goes, we don't accept insurance.
Yeah.
So I don't have like a billing department, you know, set up that's going to handle the insurance submissions and stuff like that. So what I tell people is if you have a flex spending account.
Oh, that's true.
That
yeah.
is something people can use. There are tons of like health benefits, extra wellness benefits on people's plans they can look yeah. into. So I do encourage all my clients, call up your insurance, tell them this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
They could, if they're seeing me directly, they can always try to submit for coverage for yeah. out of network, but it's really on them to submit on their own and see what they can get back.
Can I rant for a minute about the flex cards? Every time I use it, they say, well, we need some documentation. It's like, well, it's
yeah.
from a doctor's office.
Wow, yeah.
And so it annoys me very, very much. All right, but enough about me. Let's go back to the phones. Glenn in Chicopee. Glenn.
Yes.
You're up.
I was, 2 years ago, I started my legs, I like to lift up my leg. It would turn in, and within 6 months, both legs, they weren't, I couldn't pick them up more than probably an inch off the ground. And they said, oh, you got arthritis in the hip and you need to have, no, basically hip replacement. Well, I just had a hip replacement and I still really don't have a lot of movement. This has been 5 weeks. I'm in the home therapy, I guess, would be ending next week. But he was suggesting that, you know, like I still on weight. I'm on weight restriction till probably next week when I go see the doctor. But is there like suggesting that, you know, go to a more aggressive therapy? And so when you're talking about therapies, I was just sort of curious what might be a line that I might be able to go with a hip, just getting a hip replacement for a therapy.
Thanks for the call, Glenn. You know, one thought that comes to mind, and you could talk to your doctor about this, but you could benefit from maybe getting in a pool and doing some aquatic physical therapy.
Oh, yeah.
That might, you know, the water, the buoyancy of the water might help you get a little bit more access to a little bit more range of motion through that hip. So that's the first thing that's coming to mind
idea, huh?
for you to maybe give that a shot.
This one came in via email from Linda, who says, how much can people over 60 increase the range of motion by stretching? What muscles help with good pelvic posture?
With good pelvic posture?
Yeah, which I didn't know pelvises had posture. But so how can people over 60 increase the range of motion by stretching? That's basically Linda's question.
Thanks for the question, Linda. I mean, the oldest client at my studio is over 80 years old, and he has increased his range of motion substantially. So you definitely, with proper stretching technique, you can definitely increase your range of motion. Absolutely. I don't want you to feel like just because you're 60, you know, it's not going to happen for you.
No.
So you can definitely, with proper technique, absolutely increase your range of motion. As far as your pelvic posture, if you're thinking like sitting posture, I'll just kind of go there to answer the question, because that's the only pelvic posture I can really think of here.
Well, I think we can talk about on the radio, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, when you're sitting, you want to be sitting on your sitting bones, not your tailbone. So you don't want to feel like you're rocked backwards sitting on your tailbone. You want to be more forward. And the muscles that help with that are your lower abs and your low back muscles that help kind of keep that pelvis straight up and down and not slouching.
Okay. Well, Linda, thank you for the email, and we appreciate it. Let's go to Barbara in Albany. Barbara.
Hi.
Hi.
So I have this dog who's exuberant and affectionate and clumsy, and he got in front of me. He's 110 pounds, and I went sailing over him and landed on my knee.
Ouch.
Ouch.
Yeah, yeah. It's a tribute to my bones that nothing broke. But I've been told since, they x-rayed it, couldn't find anything, and I've been told since that it's nerve damage. This is like a year and a half ago, and I still, when I kneel on that knee, get like a sharp kind of a fiery thing running through my leg.
Yeah.
I was told it was nerve damage and that there was nothing to be done about it. And I asked about physical therapy and was told that that couldn't help. So I just want to hear from you if physical therapy can do anything about this kind of damage.
Okay, nerve damage would seem to
yes.
be out of your...
So, well, is kneeling your only troublesome...
Yeah, it really is.
Okay. Yeah, you know, the first thing that's coming to mind, thanks for the call, Barbara, there's something called kinesiology tape.
Kinesiology
tape, yeah.
I can almost spell that in my mind.
Yeah, so it's interesting. It's a taping technique that I know how to do it. I'm sure a lot of physical therapists understand how to use this. I think some chiropractors are using it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing that comes to mind for you to maybe look into trying.
What is this?
Essentially, it's this cotton stretchy tape.
Yeah.
And you'll see it all over the beach volleyball players, all that tape that
wear
on their shoulders and on their upper back. So that's kinesiology tape. And what it does is it essentially lifts the first layer of skin off all the tissue underneath.
So
everything underneath has a little bit more breathing room. Okay.
Oh, wow.
And so when you talk about nerve damage, I'm just kind of visualizing if you could kinesiology tape your knee and just give it a little more space,
that might
take the pressure off. And I've seen amazing results with knees being taped.
Wow.
So that's just something coming to mind. You
Very
might want to try it out.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it's fantastic stuff.
This is why I love physical therapy and people who deal with the body. They know this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's fun to geek out on
it. Is there any experimental evidence, aside from the volleyball players, that this would actually work?
Oh, there are tons of studies on kinesiology taping. Absolutely. Yeah,
okay.
We got to see the last kinesiology taping course I went to. She showed a muscle under ultrasound functioning with tape on it and without tape.
I'll be darned.
And you could completely see that there was like more fluid moving, and there was more mobility through the tissue that was taped and the one versus the one that wasn't.
I'll be darned.
Really cool.
Maybe it'll work on my brain. Let's have to try that. Barbara, thanks a lot.
Grab your head.
Let's go.
Okay.
Appreciate the call. Let's go over to Diane in Red Hook. Diane, you're on.
Hi. I have a 21-year-old daughter who was a former gymnast, and she had lower back problems at that time. And then she still continues to have the lower back problems, and she's not doing gymnastics anymore. She stopped it about 4 or 5 years ago, but she's doing excessive bodybuilding, weightlifting, so not lightweight, pretty major weights right now.
Mm.
And she's having some major pain down her leg, in the nerves, in her lower back. She went to a physiatrist. She went to a back surgeon, a neurosurgeon. No one can help her. Any suggestions? And my question also was about the Pilates. I've done floor mat Pilates classes before, but would you suggest maybe for her to do, is it called table Pilates versus mat?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Diane. Yeah, I mean, she sounds like she's tried a lot. I mean, what did the physicians say? I mean, did they...
Basically said they couldn't help her and that she should, probably try physical therapy, but she's been down that road before with physical therapy and it really didn't help her.
Yeah, so this is a good point because it allows me to segue into explaining that there is mat work in Pilates and gyrotonic, and then there's apparatus work. And the, you know, it's hard to move your body against gravity when you're not really sure what muscles you should be working from. So that's where the apparatus comes in, and it would give her more support than just doing the exercises on the floor. Okay, so I definitely would recommend, if you're going to look into trying Pilates or gyrotonic, that you should definitely use the apparatus and not just do the floor work. When it comes to low back, I mean, in the 13 years I've been teaching Pilates and gyrotonic exercise, really the name of the game is typically stabilizing the pelvis. And I was mentioning this earlier, you know, the analogy I give people is your spine is resting on this foundation that is your pelvis and your hips. And if you're that foundation's crumbling at all, your spine's doing double duty. And so most of the time we see people's spines start to calm down and feel better when we work through the hips and pelvis. So, you know, there's very specific hip strengthening exercises that, you know, she could try to do on the apparatus that would hopefully get her to, you know, build up that foundation again so the pressure goes off her back.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Diane, thanks a lot. Our guest today is Nahar Jalil, and over to line two, and Victoria in Kingston, you're on.
Hi there. Actually, that last phone call, you know, kind of touched upon the difference, but I'd like for her to go into a little bit more, which is the difference between the floor work on a mat and the table work, and also maybe get into a little bit of discussion of cost of, you know, say a professional in this field, and, you know, how can you stay in a program that seems to be, you know, like life-sustaining with, you know, body movement and, you know, what that all, you know, can do for the health. How do you accommodate all that?
Yeah, we really don't want to go into specific prices on the program, but as a general conversation, go right ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Victoria. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, so the way I like to address, you know, the equipment versus the mat. So on the Pilates equipment, you have springs. And on the gyrotonic equipment, there's a weight and pulley, right? So the whole idea is, as the spring or the pulley is pulling your leg one way, what you're trying to get your body to do is push the spring the opposite direction. So you're trying to lengthen and make the spring longer, right? So that's where it basically gives your brain a little bit more feedback to say, all right, I'm pushing against your foot. Can you push back into it to get more of a stretch? So that's the benefit of using exercise apparatus as opposed to just being on the floor. Because when it's just you on the floor, it's really hard to feel how to get that length without your foot or hand pushing, you know, against a spring or, you know, on the on the equipment. So that's, I think it just provides more feedback to your neurological system as opposed to just, you know, being on the floor.
So that's, where are you located?
We are on Route 9 in Loudonville, right near Siena College.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's probably worth the commute.
Yeah, I've got clients that drive from Amsterdam. So I've got a client that drives every week from almost an hour away.
Wow.
So we do have some pretty committed people that drive quite a distance.
Victoria, thank you very much. Let's go to Aaron in Pittsfield. Aaron.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a quick question about instructor programs for a Pilates instructor. I'm a practitioner of Pilates. I absolutely love it. And I was curious if you had any recommendations for a high-quality instructor program.
Oh, Aaron, thanks for the call. There are some pretty well-known national organizations that provide instruction and, you know, certifications in the Pilates method. And then there's a lot of, you know, smaller studios that regionally do kind of set up their own certification programs. So it's, I mean, I can give you some of the names of some of the more national ones, and they all take very different approaches to it.
Okay.
You know, Polestar Pilates is one that is much more rehabilitative oriented.
Okay.
And the one of my instructors is certified through there. It's a very interesting approach. Power Pilates is one of the biggest strongholds in the Northeast as far as they're based out of New York City.
Okay.
So they have a program. You know, I know there's a woman down in Beacon, New York that has a program. But I think your best bet is to just Google it and, you know, just for your region, start, you know, researching it. I mean, is your home studio that you're doing Pilates at, do they have any advice for you on that? Or
Well, I'm kind of just doing some independent work right now because there's not a lot in my area.
Okay.
Which is fine. But I'm just kind of interested in taking it to the next level.
Yeah, there are so many programs out there, but Polestar, Power Pilates,
Fidelity there.
What's that?
Because as I'm looking around, I'm like wondering what is the, I guess, the fidelity and the consistency amongst programs. But you're saying they're pretty on par with the philosophy and the general method.
Okay, so I get it. So just, I would say, do your due diligence and do your homework and find one that sort of speaks to you, and then look into that. Carl in Hopewell Junction. Carl.
Yes, I have been having a recurrent inflammation of my lower Achilles tendon, and I was wondering what sort of things might be suggested for that. Melt sounded really interesting, but there's no one really close by.
Hmm. Well, thanks for the call, Carl. Yeah, I mean, Melt Method, the benefit of that is you can do it at home. You can order the Melt. There's like a ball kit, different squishiness and size balls that go under your arch of your feet that you do the work with. So there are DVDs that the woman has produced. So Melt Method is something you can do on your own following a DVD. If there's nobody local. But yeah, you know, that, I mean, as far as the ankle goes, right, that's like your first point of contact at the floor. It's kind of where your balance starts. And so you do want your ankles smart, right? They have to be able to figure out where your body's going to be in space, working all the way up from where they touch the ground. So it is, as time goes on, you'll definitely want to address that just so your balance doesn't start to get compromised and other things up the chain start talking to you. But yeah, but your Melt Method is something you could do at home if that piqued your interest.
Cool. Very cool.
All right, Carl, thanks a lot. Quickly to Carol. Carol in Del Mar, you only have about 40 seconds, I'm afraid. Oh, hang on. Hey, Carol, are you on a speakerphone? Because we can't hear you too well. Oh, I'm sorry, Carol. Didn't work out. Well, that's it.
All right.
So what's the website, Nuhar?
LathamPilates.com.
All right. Well, did you have fun?
This was great.
Well, it was fun to have you here.
Thank you.
Nuhar Jalil, thank you for being with us today. We're just about out of time. Thanks to everybody who called in. We got through everybody except for Carol in Delmar.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Carol.
Technical difficulties.
Yep.
It's the way it goes. Support for WAMC comes from Vision XL Eye Care, Lake Katrine, New York, providing eye exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and more, where eyewear is an art. Facebook or visionxleyecare.com. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, working to permanently preserve the natural, scenic, and recreational resources of the Lake George region since 1988, lglc.org, and Interactive Media Consulting, Saratoga Springs, New York, providing logo and print design, web development, and digital marketing throughout the Capital Region and beyond, marketing creative and business ideas since 1996, imediaconsult.com. So, tomorrow on the program, we have meteorologist Jason Goff here. We have had a very strange winter with not much snow, at least in this immediate Albany area. And it's been warm at times. And we're going to talk weather tomorrow. It'll be a fun show. Thanks again for joining us. Thanks to Nuhar Jalil for being here. Thanks to Zachary Malloy, our engineer. Your phones were answered by Rose Schneider, our producer, the esteemed Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Again, tomorrow it's Jason Goff and the weather. Stay tuned now for news.